Joe, how are you?
Doing great. It is sunny and beautiful here. It's almost like a summer day pretty much now.
Well, yeah, same thing here. We got about 7 inches of snow. It's awesome. So.
Oh, still?
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
It's May.
No, well, normally we get one snowfall. April was on. We had no snow. Just usually we get one final snowfall, just winter saying, just don't forget who I am, and then it goes away. So.
I'm sure it gets beautiful in July, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it gets beautiful usually in the end of May, but it's one of those things. Yeah. It's like a fun. It's good snowman-making weather, right?
So, yeah, I'm from Michigan, so I'm a fan of snow.
Yeah,
back in the day,
yeah,
so.
Nothing wrong with it. Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, up until the last game, their power play had been awful. Had only had two power play goals. They've got six now on 42 chances, four of them coming on four consecutive power plays. Like, what changed on their power play, or was Montreal's penalty killing just that bad?
Well, I think they were in an 0 for 25 slump, and then they finally got one end of the first period. Valtteri Foppola was like one-timer there, and it really kind of helped them catch their breath, kind of take a relief off their shoulder and just say, okay, let's do a clean slate now and play. And they really just executed a lot better. I mean, you saw the plays that they made, that the passes were like tic-tac-toe and everything was crisp. And you saw when they move around like they do and can get guys in different positions and how easy they make it look. And I think just once the first one went in, the confidence kind of came back a little bit, and they got the next shot, four consecutive shots in the power play they scored. So it's definitely a big boost going into this one, knowing that they can pull that off.
Joe, the other obvious thing is Steven Stamkos hit the score sheet like Steven Stamkos tends to do. Slow start to the playoffs for him. When he gets going, safe to say the Lightning are going to get going.
For sure. I think if you look at this past year, I think they're 26-9 when he scores a goal. And you look at his split stats in their wins and losses, it's pretty remarkable. It's like 34 goals and 30 assists plus 28 in their 56 wins, and then 10 goals, 3 assists, and a minus 22 in their, I think, 35 losses, including the playoffs. So I think, they have a bunch of depth in their team. They have the triplets, everything else. But, when he's scoring, they're usually doing pretty well. And so I think to have him get his confidence back there and have that, drought, done with and over it, over with, he can kind of focus on and being the kind of player he is. And they'll need him to finish this series off.
Talk a little bit about Ben Bishop, who does not yet have the track record that Stamkos does. If you haven't had a playoff game, nobody knows how you're going to play. It seems to me he's getting it locked in and is playing pretty well now.
Yeah, he is. I think, everyone wanted to know how he'd do in his first playoffs, but you have to get the experience to actually have track record, as you said. And the first game, he was a little nervous, gave up a shaky third goal there that he wants to have back. But he's gotten better and better with each game, and you saw him at the end of that Detroit series really kind of shine. Game 6, he won in a must-win game. In Game 7, he had a shutout. And he's, outplayed Carey Price in the first two games of the series as well. Even with all the Montreal crowd really, really getting on him, he was able to kind of, and going after him behind the net too, he was able to kind of stay composed and play well. I think he's playing a lot of confidence right now.
Joe Smith joining us from Tampa Bay. Joe, Brandon Prust seemed to take a lot of the focus off the fact that Montreal wasn't very good in Game 2. All the focus is on him and the officials. Tampa Bay, a lot of people thought they'd have an easier time with Detroit in the first round, and they got through it. Have you talked to the players? Was that, I don't know, wake-up call might be the wrong word, but they just seem to be the team that everyone expected them to be. Are they more relaxed now after they get out of the pressure cooker, which is usually the first round?
Well, I think it was a mental hurdle to get out of the first round, especially after last year getting swept by the Canadiens, and a lot of these guys hadn't won a playoff series before. And so you have guys that are down, two games to one, they're down three games to two to Detroit, and basically elimination and a second straight first round exit. So people were wondering, what's going to happen here? And then they finally were able to get over that hurdle, win the series, kind of take a deep breath, exhale, and move forward saying, hey, now we have this under our belts. Be able to win a playoff series, now we can just play our game and see what happens. And so I think you saw them kind of play with a little more, calmness in their game in the Montreal series to start game one, and they won in double overtime. So I think it is definitely a big difference once they went from the first series to the second.
Joe, just to touch on Bishop again, and we just mentioned Prust as well. Ben's a big guy. But teams will still try and get a goaltender off his game by going to the net hard, crowding the crease, maybe a bump here or a bump there. He seems to handle it very well. Is that your take? Have you talked to him about that?
Yeah, we asked him about it today, and he was basically like, that's what I kind of expect with Montreal, especially a lot of teams. They're not the first team to go after him or try to, you know, get physical with him because they know how important he is to this team. If they can try to get him rattled or try to get him off his game, then can help them in the long run. So I think that, you know, he's gotten used to it over the course of the last couple of years, and he's able to kind of really stay poised in net there. He could have, you know, easily have lost it after, you know, giving up some bad goals and not, you know, and just let it carry over. And instead, he's really turned the page and been able to, like, well, not let that happen and let that get to him.
You talk about Tampa Bay and, you know, getting that experience. Well, one player, everybody focused so much on Steven Stamkos, but Tyler Johnson has been a revelation. You know, it's been two straight, very good regular seasons for him, and he's clearly being the Bolts' best player in the playoffs, Joe. You see him on a night-by-night basis. What impresses you the most about his overall game?
Oh, well, that's like, just like you said, he's an overall game. He's not just an offensive scorer. He plays 200 feet. He's responsible defensively. He's obviously a gifted scorer with a tremendous speed, and he's unselfish with the puck. And, you know, he's a guy for 5'8". He plays a lot bigger than 5'8". He doesn't back down from a lot of the big guys that he faces. And just one of those guys who's a great character in the room, too. Very humble kid, you know, undrafted. And he was cut from a USHL team and had to fight his way in the league. And now he's becoming a bona fide star before your very eyes. So definitely one of the, you know, one of your favorite stories to watch and follow throughout the course of the playoffs right now.
Well, yeah, and it seems to me that with Johnson's emergence, plus you got Kucherov and Palat, I mean, that takes a lot of pressure off a Stamkos or a Callahan, some of the other guys. You can't just circle one or two names on the whiteboard when you're playing the Lightning anymore.
And you can't just go after Stamkos either. You know, you have two lines that are really invaluable to you. Two lines that are three lines that can really beat you. So I think that's something that it's been a key to their success this season is being able to have more than one line, more than two lines, being able to score and produce. And the top defensive pairings for each team haven't always been on Stamkos. They've been on that triplets line a lot during the course of the season. That really opens up stuff for other guys.
Speaking of Stamkos, 11 games without a goal. It's almost unheard of for him, you know, dating back to last season. I saw his reaction when he scored that goal in Montreal. It was a dynamite highlight reel goal. But did you notice, was he pressing? Was this a guy who just wasn't doing what he was doing in the regular season?
Well, I don't know if he was pressing necessarily, but you know it was, you know, something that was way on his mind. I mean, he had 25 shots, which led the team going into that game, and he was a +3, and he was winning a lot of his faceoffs. So he wasn't like looking like he was the guy who was cheating the game or trying to get away with stuff or, you know, that kind of thing. So I think he really kind of stayed within his structure, and he said it really helped to have the team winning without him, having Tyler Johnson emerge and play well. So it wasn't like they were getting swept and all of a sudden he's the one who was struggling and it was his fault. So I think that helped him ease his mind through that process. But he wasn't really pressing too much. I know he really wanted to score that goal, and when he did, he let out a huge primal roar there, and I think everybody could hear that at the Bell Center.
Now, you'll never get a player to tell you this because it's always the one game at a time routine at this time of year. Tampa can do themselves a big favor if they can get this third one in the books and then make it four and give themselves a chance to rest, sort of the halfway mark of the playoff push. I they've got to want to get this done at home.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, number one, get this one tonight, because I know once, if Lightning can do that, then it's a really difficult, daunting task to go down 3-0 against Tampa, who they haven't beaten in 8 straight times. So this one, if Montreal wins this one, all of a sudden it's kind of a series again, you know. So that's why tonight is so important. And once you get past tonight, then you can focus on getting the sweep or whatever. But it would be beneficial to have the rest for them, and because the next series probably won't start until late next week. So that would be a big boost for them.
I know his contract doesn't expire until the end of next year, and they can start negotiating July 1st. Steven Stamkos, potential UFA. I'm assuming, obviously, Tampa Bay wants to re-sign him. Is he like what? He's a 7.5 cap hit right now. Is this guy going to get close to $10 million? Is he going to get Caves and Taves numbers, or does he realize that if he gets that, his chances of winning will be dramatically lower? Is he going to stay around 7.5 to 8?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I know the Lightning will do everything in their power to keep him, and he wants to stay. He made it clear he wants to stay here, and he wants to be part of a cup-winning team in Tampa Bay. As far as the number-wise, it's hard to say what he'll get before he even negotiates, but I think he's a guy who can get the $10 million a year, like the Kings and Tays got. But I'm sure he's a guy, too, who can maybe go in the middle somewhere. Who knows? It's hard to speculate what the price will be at that point, but he's a guy who wants to win first and foremost. I would not be surprised if, he won't take a huge hometown discount, but I'm sure he'll be able to work with Yzerman and the staff to see what he can do to make sure this is a team that can kind of contend year to year.
Well, the nice thing for Stamkos and the Bolts is they're not in that Chicago situation. Now, he can get his money right now. Nobody else is in that ballpark, so there's some room to play there, isn't there?
Yeah, for right now, because you have guys like Johnson and Pilato only at that, $3 million a year range right now. But you also have Hedman, who you have to pay in a couple of years as well. Bishop's about the $5.5 million mark. And you have guys like Strawman that you have long-term. Callahan you have for 6 years. So you have some larger numbers. You don't have anybody close to the $10 million range like he would be. So you wouldn't have, as you said, two guys like that that really take up a lot of your payroll.
Well, I know the Bolts aren't worrying about that right now, but sadly in the salary cap era, it's something you always got to plan for. We look forward to Game 3 tonight. Joe, enjoy it and enjoy the weather.
Sounds great. You too, guys.